You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As Wellington housing issues continue to grow, I sat down with Paul to discuss Wellington City Council's new initiative looking to refurbish existing buildings into urban housing.
So what we've done is we've announced that we want to work with building owners, developers, community housing providers, etc. to redevelop buildings in our inner city into new affordable rentals and social apartments. So it's like social housing units, but of course these would be in buildings and in that vertical living environment. So that's the guts of what we're hoping to do.
Awesome. And what kind of incentives will landlords have to kind of engage with this initiative?
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, what we'll sit down and do is we'll work out with building owners or developers and others who are keen to do this and say to them, look, we want to guarantee the income that you get by making sure that you can guarantee your tenants long-term stays. And one of the issues with rental accommodation is that often it's hard to get long-term tenancy. So it's not to say if you wanted something short-term, I'm sure that would be fine too, but what we're wanting to do is sit down with people and say, look, we're willing to negotiate that market rate for you to provide the accommodation, and what we will do is guarantee those leases. So that's really the incentive. They would refurbish the building, say. The community housing provider would manage the tenants, and so you've got a third sector housing provider in there. And then what we would do is we would say to them, look, if you can deliver that for the next 15 to 20 years, we would certainly help you make the conversion quicker. So we'd help you get the building up and running quickly. And the community housing provider, they are eligible for income-related rent subsidy. So that really applies to the social apartments. But we'd also guarantee that there was an affordable rent for those that were seeking just to rent out something. So here in Wellington, we've definitely got an issue with the supply of rental accommodation. We've had queues and queues out on streets, particularly when the students went back to university and said, hey, there's just not enough rental units, high quality or otherwise.
Yeah, it seems to be a kind of reoccurring theme all around the country. Like I'm even from Gisborne myself, and they're kind of like facing these housing shortages, just literally flow over from places like Auckland and Wellington, and people coming in basically buying houses and kicking them out.
Yeah, that's the heart of the issue, is that because affordable housing full stop is an issue, what that's doing is that's creating pressure too. So you've got pressure points at all around the rims. So you've got people who are seeking their first home, you've got people who are trying to rent high quality accommodation, and you've got the student market. You've even got those key workers who don't earn a lot. So, where I represent in South Wellington, it's the home of the regional hospital here, the big hospital, and a lot of the nurses and a lot of the young doctors, for example, and just all the other support services, the cleaners, all of those that make a hospital work, they can't get anywhere local that's going to, that's not only affordable, but it's also of good quality. I mean, Newtown's an older part of Wellington anyway. So initiatives like refurbishing or retrofitting the inner city, vacant inner city buildings will actually help them too, because a lot of them live outside of the city boundary. They spend more time travelling to work than actually, and of course that costs money. So if they can get somewhere a bit closer, then that's good for them as well.
Yeah, definitely. And even just like carbon footprint, it's, the smaller, more denser places, actually not only do you spend less, but it's, it's better for the environment. But one kind of query I had was, you're saying that it's going to be like cost neutral for the taxpayer or the rate payer, but I was wondering, is there like a minimum number of properties that need to kind of engage with this to reach that level?
Oh, not really. I mean, even if we just get one building out of it, I mean, I'm sure that we will get more than one. But that's why we've got that 15 to 20 year guarantee of tenure, because what we believe is if you sit down and you do the math on terms of retrofitting a building, putting in place the third party provider, because the income related rent subsidy is pretty big. I mean, it won't apply to everyone, but we think that by time you've got them in place, by time the developer has paid for the refit or the building owner, then all things being equal, it will pan out over that long time frame. What we were looking at is saying if we were to build these from scratch, then ratepayers would have to stump up with the money, then ratepayers would have to manage it. And so we thought if we're going to get new rental housing into Wellington City as quick as we can, we've already got a whole lot of existing infrastructure there. And a lot of them have actually considered it over the years. They just need to be incentivized a bit. And what we were hearing is that if we help sit down and work out the costs of this with them directly, and we were to give them some consenting help, then that was going to be enough to tip people over the line to actually do it. So I think each situation will be different, but there wouldn't be a situation where the council has to bail out a situation at all, or any building, for example. And it's low risk from another perspective, as we won't own the building either, so we don't have that ongoing maintenance.
Sounds like it's actually like a fantastic plan for Wellington, but the real question is, how is Paul and Justin going to fix Auckland's housing crisis? How can we learn? How can we take your ideas and instill them into the beast that is the Auckland housing crisis?
So I went to Auckland University, and back then the issue wasn't availability. It was just, there were none. I was just thinking the units weren't that expensive. You know, I think O'Rourke Hall was the hall that I could have gone into. It's just that I missed the deadline and so therefore didn't get in. But I remember the situation well. You had plentiful choice, plentiful options, and it wasn't too expensive. And the government used to give you a living away from home allowance, because I lived in Wellington. Auckland's a totally different beast. It's so spread out. You've got transport issues as well, which is unhelpful. But Auckland could do this. Auckland could, even if they found one building and did something similar, I think that would make a huge difference. And the thing that Auckland needs is they need quick responses. So one of the learnings we look at Auckland is we don't have the big green fields that Auckland does. You know, when you get out to Flatbush, or you go further out into where that Franklin Papakura area is, we don't have areas like that really. But I reckon Auckland could do it. And I think Auckland just needs more of that can-do attitude. Like if they could find one empty building and say, or one building that they could say, hey, rather than build office space, build some affordable and social housing units right here, then that would be, there's really no reason why they couldn't do the same. It's just a willingness, really. In fact, they would have more resources. I suspect they, being a much bigger local authority, they'd have more resources and could do it quicker. But I get the impression Auckland's a bit clunky. You know, to do anything, it's hard.
Yeah, it's just such a big beast with a million problems. But hopefully we've got the utility plan and things. Ideally, we'll go forward smoothly. Kind of just finishing on one question. What kind of examples have you drawn on when drafting this plan? Like, has there been cities around the world that you've kind of drawn on? And if so, what other methods of housing have you looked at that maybe Wellington, like even, you know, in the hut with like maybe public transport and things that Auckland could learn from and take on board?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the big things that we've been influenced by is just a local example where a developer, Maurice Clark, has been doing this for Victoria University of Wellington. So he's been taking up buildings and they've become halls of residence. So it's not the old, fashion campus that they have like overseas where they have beautiful grounds. I mean, I guess Lincoln University is a good example of where they've got a nice sort of spread out campus. So the university's worked with Morris and they have done this, and that's probably been the biggest influencer locally. But overseas, this happens lots, where developers and building owners work with the state government or the local government and go, hey, look, we can supply in this. And generally they get incentives to do it, and then they get incentives to say, hey, look, if you do this for a long, long period of time, then these are the benefits. So it's a win-win. The great thing about doing it in the city is that then you cut down people's transport costs, and that's why I think with Auckland's burgeoning problem around, you know, just getting around, vertical living is something that we sort of confine to overseas countries. I've just come back from Hong Kong, and you look around and you think, wow, they've built 20, 60-story buildings where people live, and they've got, you know, they've got a like an underground system there, and a great and a cheap taxi service and a bus service. So all your transport modes are all catered for, and that's something that Auckland's with Auckland they have to get that right as well. And we've done pretty well in that area. I mean, we're a totally different city. We're compact, and so transport doesn't feature highly. But I think vertical living, utilising the city parks and gardens that we already have in place as the new backyard, that's going to become the new way of living for some. I mean, the young people who I talk to, they don't have home ownership as the dream. I mean, I'm 45, and that's something that we always, oh God, I've got to buy a house. I don't hear that now. I think it's beyond the realm of many, which in some way is sad, but in other ways, people are saying, we don't live like that anymore. We don't, you know, we don't want a quarter acre section, because they want to use the money they make to travel and to live differently. And I think this is what the new New Zealand's going to look like, where vertical living will become an accepted part.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.